You'll find our theme sentence from John's Gospel printed on the reverse side of the service sheet. It's the fifth verse of chapter 1, which we've just had read to us. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. As the good news of Christianity spread north from the Mediterranean across Europe, it was, I think, a sound instinct that led those early Christian believers to revolutionize the pagan midwinter festivals and to be determined to celebrate the coming of Christ, the light of the world, at the very midnight of the year. This year, with our rather mild autumn and our sunny days, we perhaps don't quite catch the same meaning, but sometimes at this time of the year when it's very dark and gloomy, the whole idea of light coming into darkness brings the very heart of Christmas alive to us. We know that those Bethlehem shepherds were hardly likely to be camped out in snowdrifts, but the night sky was certainly illumined by the glory of the Lord shining around them in a way that was unforgettable. And that message of the Saviour born in Bethlehem led them to a real baby who was cradled in a manger. And they knew that Isaiah's prophecy had been fulfilled. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then in the fourth gospel, John picks up this magnificent concept of God coming as light into the world, and he takes, as it were, the ordinariness of the birth of an ordinary human child, as far as everyone knew, and he widens the perspective until we see the magnificence of what God is actually doing at Christmas, the incredible implications of this event. For John tells us the Word became flesh. He who created everything became a created human being and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The light shines in the darkness. And so at Christmas we have our candles, we have our Christmas trees, we have our Regent Street lights, but the question is whether we have really seen the light of Christmas for ourselves, the true light that gives light to every human being. Well, a closer look at our theme verse shows it to be very carefully constructed. There's a present tense and a past tense. The light shines, but the darkness has not mastered it. And so we could translate it this way. The light shines on, it continues to shine in the darkness, and however many attempts the darkness has made to master it, every time it has failed. That's why we're here in 1994, celebrating this event. In other words, John is saying to us, Christmas is a historical event, we're dealing with fact, but it is not confined to the pages of history. The light shines on in the darkness. And what began at Bethlehem has never ended and never will end. In John's Gospel, he often likes to use words with two meanings, both of which are applicable. And this verb that's translated here, mastered, is a verb that has a double meaning. Some of our English translations say the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And other translations say the darkness hasn't understood it, hasn't comprehended it. But actually both meanings of the verb put together, I think, are best expressed in this verb to master it. See, what John is saying is that although that light goes on shining in the world, the darkness continually misunderstands and tries to suppress the light. But because it is the light of God, the darkness has never and never will master it. When you understand an academic subject, you overcome some of the barriers that prevented you from making that body of knowledge your own. And you can say, perhaps after years of study, I've mastered the subject. Well, now, ever since God's light first shone in Christ, the opposition has tried to overcome the light, but it has never understood the light. And the light of God, says John, can never be mastered. So here we are in 1994, with millions of people all over the world celebrating an event which still has significance for us. Because light dispels darkness, and as long as the source of power continues, the darkness cannot quench the light. That's John's conviction about the Christmas event, and it's the heart of the joy of Christmas, that the God who came in Jesus still shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's a certainty, a givenness about the Christmas story. You may have heard on the radio the other day the tale of the school nativity play, where the story was not quite so certain, and where there had been great jealousy amongst the children as to who was going to play the part of Joseph. And one little boy, who rather thought he was well skilled for it, was actually selected by the teacher for the less than starring role of innkeeper. Well, he learnt his lines, and the rehearsals went extremely well, but throughout the autumn there was this ominous note in rehearsal that I really want to be Joseph. No, you can't be, you're the innkeeper. Until his moment arrived. And as Mary and Joseph came to the door of the inn and knocked on it and asked the question, is there any room in the inn? The innkeeper opened the door and said, well, there is for the lady, but there isn't for you, because I wanted to be Joseph. What happened to the nativity play after that, we weren't told. Now, there's a givenness about the story, and you can't change the ingredients. But let's ask this question. What would it mean for us if God's light really shone this Christmas? I don't mean in a sentimental way. If we really were to see the light that is at the heart of this celebration, it would be, I suspect, not a blinding vision from heaven, but a recognition of three simple facts about Christmas. That in the birth of Jesus Christ, the light that shines is firstly the light of truth in the darkness of human ignorance. How do we know that there really is a God at all? How do we know this isn't just a fiction? And if there is a God, how would we know what he's like? And what would it mean to be right with God rather than incurring his righteous wrath and judgment? Christmas is the answer. The light of truth in the darkness of our ignorance. Bethlehem is, of course, only the beginning. Jesus of Nazareth, the light of the world, is so because he is God. He is the one who illumines us all, who gives to us life and breath and everything. And in becoming man, he reveals to us both the truth about God, his character, in a human life that all of us can understand, and the truth about us. How we so easily resist God's right to be king in our lives. Jesus teaches us the truth. Christmas shows us there is a God and that we can be related to him. He teaches us, as the adult Jesus of Nazareth, that we can never be good enough for God by our own religious efforts. That all our moral improvement plans are doomed to failure because we fall hopelessly short of God's standards. And that, says Jesus, is why he came. That's why the light shines. To bring people like us out of darkness. To rescue us from ourselves. And to bring us into his marvelous light. It's the light of truth in the darkness of human ignorance. Secondly, it's the light of love in the darkness of human rebellion. For God made us in his likeness to find our fulfillment in relationships of love. First and foremost, a relationship with God, and then a relationship with one another. And we all know that human life really consists most meaningfully in relationships. So God says to us, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But the darkness of our rebellion wants to put me first, to live for number one. That's what we all do by nature. You have only to look at the disintegration of our relationships for proof of that. But John says the light is shining on in the darkness. It's the light of love in the darkness of human rebellion. I suppose the peak of that rebellion is seen at the end of the story, when the baby grows up and is taken eventually and murdered on a Roman cross outside Jerusalem, where the powers of evil, the very sin that is in every one of us as human beings, seems to be extinguishing the light of God. But the light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness has not mastered it. Because the meaning of the cross of Jesus is not a moment of abject defeat, but it's actually the victory of God's love over all the forces of darkness. For just as no human power could stop the light shining in his birth, so in his death he gave himself up for us all and suffered the punishment of our sin and rebellion in our place, so that we may be made right with God. That is the love that he came to offer us, which started at Bethlehem and went through to Good Friday and Calvary. That was the rescue he came to achieve, the rescue from our sin and its consequences. That is the peace he brings, peace with God, because he has dealt with the consequences of our rebellion. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness has not mastered it. It's the light of truth in our ignorance. It's the light of love in our rebellion. And thirdly, it's the light of life in the darkness of human mortality. You see, at the end of that Gospel of John, there is the light of Easter morning. And you can never think about Christmas and understand it properly until you make the journey to Easter and see there Christ fulfilling the work he started at Bethlehem, bearing our sins in his body on the cross, and then being raised again on Easter morning in the power of an eternal victory. He offers everlasting life to everyone who turns to him and trusts him. And that light of life is here at the beginning of John's Gospel as well. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness has not mastered it. So the light of life comes when we receive the forgiveness that the rescuer came to achieve, when we welcome him as King and Master. Do you remember how we heard in John's Gospel that all who receive him are given the right to become children of God, born of God? And the glory of Christmas is that God offers us new life, a life that is in the right with God, a life that extends beyond this world to heaven, a life that is an eternal reality. That's why he came. That's what the miracle's all about. That's what the Christian faith has at its heart. A God who steps into history to transform us, to make us people of truth and love and alive to God, just as he always designed us to be. Now, you cannot master that. Even death itself is conquered by Jesus, for in him it becomes the gate to life immortal. And we rejoice this Christmas because we know in Jesus Christ the reality of sins forgiven and peace with God and the hope of heaven. And that is something to celebrate. The light shines on across our world in 1994. And the darkness never has and never will master it. I wonder if you know that poem that John Betjeman wrote many Christmases ago now, in which there's a stanza that runs like this. And is it true? And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all? Seen in the stained glass windows, Hugh, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, became a child on earth for me. Is it true? Or is it just sentiment? Is the baby God? Did he come in order to rescue us in that mighty action once in history so that the whole of future history could be transformed? Yes, indeed he did. And because that light shines on in our world today, then everything is changed by that truth. And the most important decision I will ever make is to pull back the curtains, as it were, and to let the light of Christ shine into my life. As we were singing, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. We'll never understand it fully. And the forces of darkness will never overcome it, because ultimately every knee will bow to Jesus and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. The whole world will recognize the truth of Christmas when he comes again. So why not start living in the light now? Why not enter into all the goodness that God has given to us in this child? Why not pray as that carol did? O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out my sin and enter in, be born in me today. That's what makes you Christian. And when you experience that light, you know that it shines on in the darkness, and the darkness has not mastered it. May God help us to believe that, and may we, in believing, enjoy a very happy Christmas. Amen.